Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. On all sides, it's called the deadline, and it arrived this morning when Britain put into effect its total air and sea blockade of the Falkland Islands. Our three reports commence with Martha Teichner in London.
What has been described here as a war of nerves has begun now that Britain, like Argentina, has put into effect its total blockade of the Falkland Islands. Argentina's request for clarification of the Hague proposals is seen in London as stalling, so it wouldn't appear that Argentina was the one to cut off attempts for a negotiated settlement. Prime Minister Margaret Thatcher met with her top ministers, referred to as her war cabinet this morning, and remains at Downing Street with no scheduled engagements. There is some talk that Britain does not intend to take action against planes on the ground at Port Stanley yet. But members of Parliament left last night's six-hour emergency debate convinced that armed conflict with Argentina would begin today, regardless of who shoots first. For Britain, the question of exactly when, determined by any attempt on the part of Argentina to fly supplies to their troops on the islands. This belief is reinforced by Foreign Secretary Francis Pym's statement to Parliament last night. He said again that Britain would not hesitate to enforce its blockade even while negotiations continue. For The View in Buenos Aires, here is Charles Gomez.
Despite Great Britain's total air and sea blockade around the Falkland Islands, some U.S. sources here are saying they expected Britain's first move would be a strike against the Falklands airfield or a landing in one of the many coastal inlets rather than an all-out assault. A limited move, coupled with a blockade to close off Argentina's reinforcement capability, say the sources, could leave time for the United States to make a new attempt to reopen negotiations. Argentina has responded to the air and sea blockade by warning that all British air and sea craft venturing into a 200-mile exclusion zone around the Falklands, as well as Argentine airspace and territorial waters, would be considered hostile and treated accordingly. On the Falklands, Argentine troops were dispatched to different parts of the main island, and transport planes continued to arrive until late yesterday, loaded with ammunition and provisions. In Buenos Aires, Argentine officials said they were still willing to negotiate as long as Argentina's sovereignty over the islands was not compromised. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
This is Rita Flynn at the State Department. Thus far, there's been no official comment on a wire service report that a statement was drafted here last night and may be released publicly today, placing the United States squarely on the side of the British. Officials here, however, have long acknowledged the existence of such a contingency plan. What's more, they say it has been made known to Argentine leaders in past efforts to provoke some movement in negotiations. Secretary Haig reportedly has cleared his schedule, canceling all appointments this weekend and putting his staff members on a four-hour alert so that he can fly to Buenos Aires at any time if the government there extends the invitation it canceled earlier this week. State Department officials say the United States has not abandoned completely its hopes of continuing to play some sort of diplomatic role if fighting breaks out, a prospect they say now appears almost inevitable. It's thought here that Haig may perhaps even try to work out a ceasefire agreement between the British and the Argentines. Still, there is a great amount of gloom here this morning as officials concede Haig's hopes of averting a major conflict in the South Atlantic have now collapsed. Rita Flynn, CBS News, the State Department.
Argentina's foreign minister, Nicanor Costa Mendez, pays a call on U.N. Secretary General Javier Perez de Cuellar in New York this morning, but CBS News U.N. correspondent Richard C. Hotelet reports no sign that Costa Mendez wants to engage the U.N. machinery again at this point, even though the British blockade is now fully in effect.
I'm Eric Engberg, CBS News in Washington, where Secretary of State Alexander Haig is about to make an announcement concerning the Falkland Islands crisis. The Secretary of State will be speaking from the State Department amid growing signs that the U.S. effort to mediate the conflict between Great Britain and Argentina has failed. Argentine news organizations have already reported today that the U.S. has ended its effort to negotiate a settlement. And the Argentine press reports say that Secretary Haig has blamed Argentina's military government for being unyielding in its negotiating position. There has as yet been no confirmation or denial of those reports from the United States government. So Secretary Haig's comments in the briefing room on the second floor of the State Department will be the first official U.S. statement of position today. And today, of course, is a critical day in that crisis between Great Britain and the Argentinian government, because Britain's total air and sea blockade of the Falkland Islands went into effect this morning. the United States is reported to have abandoned its effort to bring the situation to a peaceful conclusion, but as yet we have no reports that there have been confrontations between Argentinian and British military units. Great Britain has declared a 200-mile zone around the Falkland Islands to be an area in which Argentine vessels and aircraft would be fired upon if they entered, and Argentina has responded by declaring a similar 200-mile zone around the Falkland Islands and around Argentine's mainland as an area in which British shipping or aircraft would encounter fire if they entered. The report that the United States negotiating effort has broken down despite arduous efforts by the Secretary of State, in which he engaged in transatlantic flights between Argentina, Great Britain, and then the United States, was first carried by the Argentine news agency DYN. It said that a note advising the Argentines of the U.S. position was handed to the Argentine ambassador in Washington, Esteban Takash. Now Secretary of State Haig has entered the briefing room and is about to address a large group of reporters who have gathered there. He will be introduced by his official spokesman, Dean Fisher. Here at the podium, the spokesman at the podium, along
with Secretary of State.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The South Atlantic crisis is about to enter a new and dangerous phase in which large-scale military action is likely. I would like to bring you up to date on what we have done and why and what we must do now. We have made a determined effort to restore peace through implementation of UN Security Council Resolution 502. That resolution calls for an end to hostilities, the withdrawal of Argentine forces from the islands, and a diplomatic settlement of the fundamental dispute. The United States made this extraordinary effort because the stakes in human lives and international order require it. From the outset, the United States has been guided by the basic principles of the rule of law and the peaceful settlement of disputes. The collapse of that principle could only bring chaos and suffering. We also made this effort because the crisis raised the vital issues of hemispheric solidarity at a time when the communist adversaries seek positions of influence on the mainland of the Americas and latent territorial disputes in much of the hemisphere call for unity and the resolute defense of principle. We acted as well because the United States has the confidence of the parties. The United Kingdom is our closest ally, and Prime Minister Thatcher's government looked to us to pursue a peaceful solution. We have also recently developed a better relationship with Argentina as part of our success in revitalizing the community of American states. President Galtieri also requested our involvement. Under the direction of President Reagan, I participated in many days of intense discussion with the parties in the search of a framework for implementing UN Security Council Resolution 502. Our initial aim was to clarify the position of the parties and to offer suggestions on how those positions might be reconciled. We took no position on the merits of either the British or Argentine claims to the islands. As the prospects for more intense hostilities arose, we put forth an American proposal. It represented our best estimate of what the two parties could reasonably be expected to accept, and was based squarely on our own principles and concern for the rule of law. We regard this as a fair and a sound proposal. It involves a cessation of hostilities, withdrawal of both Argentine and British forces, termination of sanctions, establishment of a United States, United Kingdom, Argentine interim authority to maintain the agreement, continuation of the traditional local administration with Argentine participation, procedures for encouraging cooperation in the development of the islands, and a framework for negotiations on final settlement, taking into account the interests of both sides and the wishes of the inhabitants. We had reason to hope that the United Kingdom would consider a settlement along the lines of our proposal. But Argentina informed us yesterday that it could not accept it. Argentina's position remains that it must receive an assurance now of eventual sovereignty or an immediate de facto role in governing the islands, which would lead to sovereignty. For its part, the British government has continued to affirm the need to respect the views of the inhabitants in any settlement. The United States has thus far refrained from adopting measures in response to the seizure of the islands that could have interfered with our ability to work with both sides in search for peace. The British government has shown complete understanding for this position. Now, however, in light of Argentina's failure to accept a compromise, we must take concrete steps to underscore that the United States cannot and will not condone the use of unlawful force to resolve disputes. The President has therefore ordered the suspension of all military exports to Argentina, the withholding of certification of Argentine eligibility for military sales, the suspension of new export-import bank credits and guarantees, and the suspension of Commodity Credit Corporation guarantees. The President has also directed that the United States will respond positively to requests for materiel support for British forces. There will, of course, be no direct U.S. military involvement. American policy will continue to be guided by our concerns for the rule of law and our desire to facilitate an early and fair settlement. The United States remains ready to assist the parties in finding that settlement. A strictly military outcome cannot endure over time. In the end, there will have to be a negotiated outcome acceptable to the interested parties. Otherwise, we will all face unending hostility and insecurity in the South Atlantic. Thank you.
Secretary of State Alexander Haig completing a brief statement at the State Department, in which, as expected, he announced the collapse of the United States peace effort in the dispute between Great Britain and Argentina over the Falkland Islands and clearly indicated that the United States will support Great Britain in that conflict.
History as it happens, you heard it on WCCO.
Saturday, the 1st of May. CBS News, the British make the first move in the Falklands. I'm Paul Lockwood reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Fighter bombers of the Royal Navy today attacked the airstrip at Stanley, capital of the Falkland Islands. The action taken, said an official British spokesman, to deny the Argentines the use of the airfield. Dan Revive in London has more on the story.
The Ministry of Defense said the action at Fort Stanley was meant to enforce the total exclusion zone. Even though the blockade went into effect yesterday, today's attack came as a surprise. Many politicians interviewed before the attack said they expected Foreign Secretary Francis Pym to explore possible diplomatic solutions in Washington and New York this weekend. For instance, Conservative Member of Parliament Keith Speed on BBC television last night.
This has all got to be solved by diplomacy. So diplomacy is always in play. Sometimes it's high profile, sometimes it's pretty low profile. I think clearly from London, we are keeping the diplomatic pressure up, we're keeping the military pressure up and the economic pressure.
We're waiting for the Argentines now to fire the first shot.
Pretty well so, yes. And then we will then have to respond.
The British task force did not wait for the Argentines to act. One government official here said the warning 2 days before the blockade began was clear, that any Argentine aircraft or ship in or near the Falklands would be liable to attack, and that the airport at Port Stanley would be closed as of Friday. Dan Revive, CBS News, London.
The only comment so far out of Buenos Aires is confirmation by the Argentine military that the British attack on the Stanley airport had taken place. There were, however, no details. Correspondent Bob Simon in Buenos Aires says the chronology of events so far in the Falkland situation has produced no surprises.
The utterly amazing thing about how things have gone so far to me is that things have gone exactly how everyone expected them to. Usually, armchair strategists sit around predicting what's going to happen, and a major power such as Britain will do something to surprise everyone. But here, everything has gone according to script. Everyone had speculated that they would hit the South Georges first and then move on from there to bomb out the airfield at Port Stanley, and that's exactly what they've done. Obviously, the meaning of the attack today is to enforce the air blockade. It was relatively easy for the British fleet to interdict Argentinian ships that would have tried to get to the Falklands, but with the airstrip at Stanley, the Argentinians could have still supplied the Falklands by air. Now that will not be possible.
Bob Simon in Argentina, and we'll have more news in a moment.
The shooting war begins. Britain attacks Falklands airstrip. Argentina claims British jets were repelled. Good morning, this is Neil Strausser with the CBS World News Roundup. The war for the Falkland Islands has begun. Great Britain this morning reported its jets had struck at the airstrip at Stanley, the capital of the Falklands. Argentina, however, claimed the jets have been repelled. We have two reports, beginning with Martha Teichner in London.
Foreign Secretary Francis Pym yesterday warned reporters that Britain could not rule out an attack on the Falkland Islands, and last night in a radio broadcast to the islanders themselves, he set the stage for today's action.
Intransigence has been shown in Buenos Aires, and I'm not at all confident that war of some kind or an escalation of military action will not come. I have to tell you that however unpleasant it may be, that is, I'm afraid, quite probable.
The announcement of the attack on the airport at Port Stanley was made this morning. The Ministry of Defense gave few details.
Early this morning, British aircraft took action to enforce the total exclusion zone and to deny the Argentinians the use of the airstrip at Port Stanley.
It is believed that Harrier jump jets from the Naval Task Force bombed the runway following intelligence reports that Argentine military planes were using the airport in violation of Britain's total blockade of the islands. The action, considered by the government as defensive, also clears the way for a major effort to retake the islands. Martha Teichner, CBS News, London.
This is Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires. Argentina's military junta confirmed reports of an attack on Port Stanley in the Falklands this morning by British Harrier jets, but did not characterize the attack, nor mention that the incident took place at the airport, as reported by the British Ministry of Defense. The junta said the attack took place at 4:40 this morning and was repelled by anti-aircraft fire. There were no reports of damages or injuries. Recent Argentine television reports showed several fighter planes and transport and reconnaissance aircraft at the airport. It was not known how many Argentine troops were defending the airstrip at the time of the attack. In an earlier communique, Argentina blamed Great Britain for any bloodshed that would come in a clash on the Falklands, saying Britain bears the full responsibility for any act of aggression. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
White House spokesman Larry Speaks this morning said the U.S. position on a peaceful solution is well known. But President Reagan yesterday said that the U.S. has gone as far as it can go in diplomatic efforts and ordered sanctions against Argentina because of its aggression in seizing the islands. Britain's Foreign Secretary Pym is also flying here this evening to discuss the military aid the U.S. has promised to Britain. Argentina's Foreign Minister Costa Mendes left New York last night saying that his country still wants to negotiate, but again insisted that the issue of sovereignty over the Falkland Islands is non-negotiable.
Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with a CBS World News Roundup. Britain is intensifying its military measures in the conflict with Argentina over the Falkland Islands. Doug Sefton reports first from London.
Britain has decided to step up its offensive potential, putting on alert the 5th Infantry Brigade currently in the United Kingdom and requisitioning the ocean liner QE2 for transport of several thousand troops. The new mobilization was announced a short time ago by Ministry of Defense spokesman Ian MacDonald.
The QE2's speed, size, and facilities make her uniquely suited to carry substantial numbers of troops who must be kept fit and ready for operations should they be required.
MacDonald criticized Argentine military leadership for what he called fabrications regarding British military losses during the weekend engagements. For that reason, he was as specific as possible, for instance, on the latest confrontation involving a British helicopter missile attack on two Argentine patrol boats.
As I have already announced, one of these vessels was sunk and the other damaged. All our helicopters returned safely.
As an indication of the magnitude of the mobilization, the Defense Ministry also announced plans for requisition of two roll-on, roll-off ferries for vehicle transport and a container ship to carry additional helicopters. Doug Sefton, CBS News, London.
This is Charles Gomez in Buenos Aires. There was no confirmation this morning from Argentina's military junta of reports from the British Ministry of Defense that British helicopters sank an Argentine patrol craft and damaged another patrol boat off the Falklands coast. But the Joint Chiefs of Staff here did confirm that the Argentine cruiser General Belgrano had been torpedoed by a British submarine, causing unspecified damage. The attack was cited as a major reason Argentina this morning rejected a seven-point ceasefire agreement announced by Peruvian President Fernando Belaunde Terry last night. Belaunde Terry said the plan was drawn up by Secretary of State Alexander Haig, who transmitted it to Peru. Belaunde then presented the plan to Argentina. A presidential spokesman said the proposal had been rejected because of the attack on the General Belgrano. The spokesman added the plan was similar to one proposed by Haig on April 27th and turned down by President Leopoldo Galtieri. The junta said recent incidents in the South Atlantic were, in its words, only the beginning of more hostilities. President Galtieri reportedly told his military commanders in an emergency meeting at the presidential palace, it will not be Argentina waving the white flag. Charles Gomez, CBS News, Buenos Aires.
The General Belgrano, the cruiser that the British attacked and damaged yesterday, is a former ship of the United States Navy, then named the Phoenix. She survived the Japanese attack on Pearl Harbor and spent most of the war with the U.S. 7th Fleet, which supported General MacArthur's campaign to return to the Philippines.